Well, thank you everyone for joining once again on Zoom, and for everyone who's taking a part today. Rick, Hetty, Rose, Diane, thank you. And Stacy for putting together the videos. I want to make one observation before I get into the topic for the sermon today. And did you notice in the first prayer, which is the collect for today, we pray that God would have compassion on our weakness, mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, or for our blindness we cannot ask. And what I want to point out is that the word is unworthiness that's used, and it's not worthlessness. We do not appear worthless in God's eyes, but we may be unworthy because of sin or something that's happened that God will wash away and forgive and supply for us everywhere. But there, you know, that's an important difference. We're never worthless in God's eyes, and He washes away our unworthiness. So I just wanted to, that's for free today. I just wanted to point that out. What I would like to talk about with you today is something about our own prayer lives. Our private prayer really brings public potential. And I want to show how that happens and how you and I can pray in such a manner easily that it brings great potential everywhere we go and in what we're involved in. So I was reminded of this preparing today about the movie Trouble with the Curve. Did anybody ever see Trouble with the Curve? Oh, Pete. All right, good. Yeah, and Rick. Yeah, it's a very fine movie. I think it's from 2012. Clint Eastwood was in it. Amy Adams, Justin Timberlake, John Goodwin, and others. And what happens here is there's a father and a daughter who are Major League Baseball scouts. And so, you know, they travel all over the place and scout out talent and high schools and wherever. And Justin Timberlake is a scout, plays a scout also, which doesn't have anything to do with what I want to point out. But, you know, that was an interesting side fact. They are looking at a high school baseball player who is really excellent. And he stands out far above everybody else in the talent that he's got, and intimidates all the other teams, brings his high school team to championships and all that. He went on to minor league tryouts, and he was going to advance and hopefully enter the major leagues at some point, probably soon. That's what he thought. Everyone thought that. Until the daughter, who was the scout, who had been on the outs with the league, and didn't work too much, showed up one day at this young man's tryouts and noticed in one pitch and one at bat, as she was walking by, that he would have trouble hitting a curveball. Particularly when you get to the major leagues, you have trouble hitting the curveball. And because of this young man's talent and skill in all the other areas of playing baseball, no one showed him how to hit a curveball. I mean, he didn't have to worry about it in the levels he was already playing in. But he would not have done well in professional, especially major league baseball. So that was the end of it for him. As soon as she pointed that out, that young man went off to other things. Fairly dejected, too. There, of course, were other plot strands in the movie, but that's the main one that points out. There is one thing in our prayer life that opens up potential in public arenas, like this worship time. There is something about our private prayer life that opens up great power and great potential in public gathered worship and other things as well. And learning how to pray one-on-one with God individually and privately will breathe power and potential into our worship times and other congregational ministry and other things in the community. It's just that learning that one-on-one, private, in secret prayer with God. And that's what brings the public potential, what we do alone, even in secret, as we hear every Lent, is what opens that door. And we see that in the incident with Jacob at Bethel, which Diane read just a few minutes ago. There he is, he's traveling alone, he's going to Haran, to his uncle Laban's house to find a wife, and he's in trouble. Jacob is in trouble. But he has this incredible one-on-one prayer experience right there, middle of the desert. And the reason that he's in trouble is he brought it on himself. You probably have heard from time to time that the name Jacob actually means deceiver. And he lived up to his name. And even with his mother's prompting, he deceived his father and tricked him out of the birthright, which was due to his brother Esau. He just stole it, and that's what he did. And once it's given, it can't be reappropriated. And so he was in a lot of trouble with Esau, as you could imagine. That comes up much later in Jacob's story. Now, if you feel as you are not worthy to have a one-on-one prayer relationship like that with God, that if you pray privately in secret, God's not going to answer you because you're not worthy of it, just take a look at Jacob. Would he have not been worthy of it either? Well, maybe not in those terms, but God still met him one-on-one, in secret, out in the middle of nowhere, and no one else knew about it until we heard about it in the scriptures. That same thing is available to us. And you cannot be unworthy of it. God wants to give it to you. It's in this prayer time, which actually was prompted by God in a dream. Jacob, there he is in the desert, finds some kind of rock for a pillow, lays his head down, and then he has a dream. This is God speaking to him. Jacob didn't start the prayer time, God did, which is usually what happens anyway. And God spoke to him, and in this dream he saw Jacob's ladder. You remember that? It's the ladder from earth to heaven, where the angels are ascending to heaven and descending. He was given that. God reiterated the promise that he gave to Abraham, that through your family line, all the families of the world will be blessed. And here's Jacob, the deceiver, gets that promise reiterated to him at this time. And then he woke up. That was a pretty good night's sleep. So he woke up right there. Now, the way Jacob responded and the results apply to us. God reached out to him, and God will do that with us, and he does all the time. Jacob saw that God's presence is everywhere, all the time, and that's true for us as well. He said, "How awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God. It's the gate of heaven." Jacob knew that God had met him there, and God would meet him anywhere, just anywhere at all. That's what was going on. And we'll get back to that in just a minute, as how that phrase can be used in prayer and what it will release. He used the stone, which was his pillow, as a memorial. He set it up, poured oil over it, and made it as a memorial, which is a great thing to do. We do things to remind us that God is always with us. And some of us put things in our house, paintings, pictures, things on our refrigerator, whatever, bookmarks, that remind us of God's presence and the things that God has done. Because remembering reconnects us in the present, in with God. Now, one of the things that's true about all this is that we have a ladder. Jacob's ladder was, some kind of ladder or ramp going from earth to heaven, and the angels were on it. You might remember Nathaniel there in the Gospels, and when Jesus and Nathaniel had their first encounter, Nathaniel was called to follow Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, you're Nathaniel, in you there's no guile," and things like that. Nathaniel was very impressed. And Jesus said, "Will you believe with this? Just wait. You will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Our ladder is Jesus. We are closer in some respects. If you can imagine this, it's closer to us than the ladder that Jacob had, because it's Jesus himself that is the ladder. And that's very, very powerful. Jesus is there making heaven real to us, making the kingdom of God real to us in every way. And we will carry that same blessing that Jacob was reminded his family would be carrying. Our blessing will be to carry the love and grace of God in which we are built up wherever we go. One place that happens among many is right here, right now, when we gather for worship, even over Zoom. When you come into worship, having engaged with the grace of God, one-on-one, your own self, even in secret, then what you do is you add to the strength and the power and the love of God that is flowing in the worship time we have together. It's just like when, in a relationship, when both parties, or if it's a group, when all the parties are strong, then it magnifies and multiplies when the group gets together. Or when there's a team, when all the members of the team are strong and skilled in their part of what they're supposed to do, an athletic team or whatever it is, then each one's strength multiplies the effectiveness of the team. When you and I come together, just having engaged with God on our own, it multiplies what happens among us, magnifies it. So we come together like this, and that's one of the main things each of us contributes. Maybe you're not the preacher today. Obviously, because I am. Or maybe you're not the music team leader. But you are a grace-filled, sin-forgiven, worshiping child of God, adding that strength to the time of worship, even right now. And maybe you and I do not have all the families of the earth blessed through us, but maybe we join in with that by blessing in one way or another the families that are around us, because we have been one-on-one with God. That means when each of us is engaging with God on our own, then there's something more flowing together when we worship and when we gather. So I want to encourage you to take something up that would help you do that. It's very easy. Some of you I know have already been doing this, and I have shared it before. But you can take the phrase that Jacob has here in this reading. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And you just get together with God, and you sit in God's presence, and you start being quiet And then you kind of let your breathing get regular. And then as you breathe in, you say to yourself, this is the house of God. As you breathe out, this is the gate of heaven. And see if you can do that for maybe 5 minutes. Set your timer and see if you can just keep doing it. Now, if you make 2.5, that's 2.5 minutes you didn't have before. That's just fine. As much as you can do. And then see what you experience. You know, when you stop, kind of look back and say, what did I sense of the presence of God? What did I see? What did it seem as if God were trying to communicate to me? Or whatever. Just look back and say, what happened? That will begin to pour life and strength through you. That when you get together with others, it will magnify what God is doing when we're together. And you can add that to your other prayer disciplines however you like. Maybe do it once a week, a couple of times a week, whatever. If you really like it, a few times a day. Just go with how that goes. And then as you go along, you find you can use other scriptures for that as well. When I'm looking at the psalm for the day, in the morning there'll be a phrase that strikes me out of that. And so after I'm done reading the psalm, and before I read the Old Testament portion for the day, I will sit for a few minutes and do that exercise. One phrase, and I breathe in, say one phrase, breathe out the next phrase, and just see what God does. It's a great thing. It's easy to do. And the benefits are eternal. Can hardly say what it is that you get from that. That's what I encourage you to do. You may be thinking, I don't know if I can do that. To which I want to encourage you as your pastor and say, sure you can. Give it a try. See what happens. Well, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would draw us to these places where we're with you by ourselves. And just like Jacob, we would see you as our ladder. And we would receive from you that which flows through us and is a blessing to others around us. All for the glory of your name. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ.